that he would make after he said something that was always profound. And he would say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. What he was saying, basically, it's not everybody with ears, but if you're tuned in, he said, you need to listen to this. See, everyone has ears, but not everybody hears with those ears. They hear something, but they don't hear the thing, the right thing. So he said, if you have ears to hear, this is for you. And I believe when we gather here, we are seeing those who have ears to hear. I believe that. And we made it a point to be in a habit of doing these things. You know, it's church night. We're going to go to church. And rarely do we come and not hear a message or a lesson. And I think we look for that. When I was, a child, 7, 8, 9, you know, I was raised in the church. And so I came to church looking forward to not hearing preaching. I wanted there to be a runaway, a singing, anything but preaching, because I love the Word of God, but just in less doses than everyone else was getting. And I would be waiting on that particular song I knew would really, you know, trigger the response, and I would wait for somebody to respond and at least go to the altar, because once they'd go to the altar, the kids would kind of gravitate to an area, and if we behaved, we was all right, they'd leave us alone. To a certain age, then we were expected to be in the altar too. But I loved church that I could just, go and get out real quick. That was a kid part of me. But I remember, and it probably started at youth camp, which is the wonderful thing about youth camp. It puts the Word of God down on that level where those kids can sometimes for the first time hear something that changes them. And I remember going to youth camp, and they didn't have your normal, you know, for the kids' age I was at, 12, 13, 14, they didn't get bringing somebody that was, you know, funny, an attention grabber. They brought in Brother O.R. Foss, and some of you have heard of his name. When he preaches, it's almost like if he just said anything, you just want to run to the altar. But he was just a wonderful preacher, powerful. And he preached the angel and the inkhorn, and every one of us in there thought that we better repent now because we were lost. And I heard the word and the anointing that was with the word, and God had anointed him greatly to be able to get a hold of people, and told the story of his son backsliding and dying in a car accident almost home, and gripped us. And we could not wait to run to the altar. And I remember him saying, whoa, stop, go back. I'm not through preaching yet. We're like, we're through. We've had enough. We want to repent. He said, go back. And we went back. We was all crying and, Lord, pleading the blood of Jesus and save us, Lord. And we had to go back and let him finish. And then the altars filled up. And I don't think there was anyone in there that didn't pray through. It's so strong in my memory that I remember the feeling. I remember my friend Daryl. I was so glad that he came with me that year. And he just got a wonderful blessing. But that made us understand the power of the Word of God, because it was funneled to our age group so that we could understand it and receive it. And so in that group and in that wonderful camp, we had ears to hear. Years later, well, not that many years later, probably really three. You grow up quick from 13, 14, 15 to 17. 17 years old, and I took off time to not only go to camp, I went to Crusaders camp to work as a counselor, a dean, they called it. You know, just to help the kids, corral them. It was very easy. At that age, they're too scared to be mean, really, and it was a great camp. And I just wanted to be around it. But I spent a week there watching a guy do puppets up in front. That was the main evangelist, and I remember this fuzzy thing, you know, ha 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 ha, and he's doing this thing, and I'm like, how in the world do these kids like this? It was that way. Every service was geared to the 8, 9, and 10 year olds, and they loved it. They had a great response. I was starving. That's the first time I realized I'm hungry for the Word of God when I don't get it. I couldn't wait to get back to my church and hear my pastor preach and eat that solid, what I felt like was meat. You know, I was 17, but I was growing in the Lord, and I enjoyed the Word of God. And I think that whenever we begin to get a taste of the Word of God, it comes to this point. We've developed ears to hear. We've learned how to say, Lord, right now I'm listening for what you're actually saying. And God speaks to us on the level that we are. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Ecclesiastes 5, and I'm going to read through a few verses here. And I got a call right now, and it's a telemarketer. I don't know if I should stop and take that call. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to just let it go because it probably is something I don't want to talk about. I'm glad my phone now says telemarketer. And I hope it's not my mom and somehow, you know, that just got in the wrong department there. But telemarketer, what a time to call me. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1 says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. So when you come to the house of God, I need to understand, Lord, I'm coming to hear something. And today, tonight, you're hearing about hearing. So it's a message within a message, I suppose. But it's not just I'm listening. I must be intentional about listening. Amen. Can y'all hear? Amen. See these new speakers? This is all new. Sunday, it was a big cluster up here. And I walked in today, and it looked like a mouth that had the front teeth knocked out. And all we got is these eye teeth. And for two days, this place has been tore up. And the sound guy here, me and Jared, and a lot of others here helping us. And I can hear better than I've ever heard. And we were testing it yesterday morning, and I said, I can hear these speakers with these ears instead of it was silent up here. You'd scream trying to hear. And so I'm glad that I can hear, and I'm glad you can hear. But we know there's a different level than just, we're not just hearing, but there's something within the words we're hearing. And we hear the word of God, we're coming for that purpose. Lord, I'm here to hear intentionally. You know, I come to church still for the fellowship, as I did when I was a child, but we bump up to a level to where now, Lord, we really need your word. And I'm depending on it when I leave that I can take something with me that will equip me and help me to face the world. But as important as we ascribe to this place, the importance is great. The value really is what this atmosphere has on our lives through the Word of God. Yes. Now, I'm so thankful for fellowship. That's necessary. That's a great part of it. You go to the bank. We went to the bank, I think, today. I get my days mixed up, but I think we were in the line. And there was no rubbing shoulders, meet and greet, because we're in a car. You put your canister in that thing. It's very impersonal. You can't have church like that. No. You know, yet somebody tried it. Someone tried it. They had a drive-through church where they had a window on the side of their building, and you could drive up, and a few other churches tried it. This was back in, I think, the 70s, late 70s, and it was drive-through church. What would you like? And they said, well, I'm having trouble with my marriage. Well, here's some scriptures I want to read to you, and they'd read a scripture, and let's pray with you. They'd give them a tract, and they'd move on, and next, you know, and it was drive-through church. They thought, if the restaurants are doing it, we can do it. And they're not there anymore because we got to get together. Something about the atmosphere. Thank God for that. And so we must have ears that hear. And this can seem to be just another Wednesday service. Unless I have ears to hear. That means, Lord, I'm sensitive to hear something that's beyond the scriptures and beyond the Bible study. I want to hear something. I want to hear the voice of the one that spoke these words in the first place. Because I can hear, and we know this is just one of those things that happens in church. The message can be about grace, and you can hear something wonderful about miracles, and it will give you encouragement. Right. Amen. It can be about miracles, and you've got something for your downtrodden friend that you're going to go to. The Word of God affects us the way we need it to. Yes. Whatever your need is, you've got to be listening intentionally, and it will help you in that regard. Verse 2 said, do not be rash with your mouth. I needed that when I was 15 and 16 and 17. And my mouth was just horrible. I'd go say junk and I'd try to be funny and all that. And I'd get home and I was so embarrassed. I thought, I can't believe I did all that. And so then I'd try to hold my tongue. And it just, I was affected with this mouth that would just run on. And I would come home and from an event and I'd think, I cannot believe I said that. Well, of course, all teenagers are, you know, that way. You're a little insecure when you're 14, 15, and so forth. But I was rash with my mouth. It says, don't be rash. And let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. Now, how many of us, and don't raise your hand, early years of marriage, early days of marriage, you said some things hastily that when they went out, you wish you could just... You know, wouldn't it be great if there was a rewind on life? Just, well, let's go back with that and zip it back a few minutes and say, let's try this again. But yet, in a good marriage, you can usually say, you know what, sorry I said that. But when you're younger and you're a male, you're not so sorry you said it, because you know that you got a lot of pride in what you just threw out there. It was well constructed, and sorry you heard it the wrong way, you know. And so that creates issues, and just a little glimpse into our past. No, we really had a good marriage. Really, we're still here today. It's all good. And he said, "For God is in heaven and you're on earth." That's profound right there. God is in heaven. He's been here for a while, and I just arrived. And I'm here. Compared to God, I've just got here. I'm like dust blowing in the wind. He created this with his words. That's how powerful his words are. And so I must understand, I don't have it all together. I don't want to say anything hastily with my mouth, because God's in heaven, I'm on earth. So we got to get that priority right, that order. Therefore, it said, let your words be few. It really comes down to this. I need to listen more than I talk. That's just the general rule of thumb for people. If I can let what's going in be more than what's going out, the filter's going to work a whole lot better. Yeah. I get nervous when I see two people talking and they both are talking at the same time and neither one of them are going to shut up and listen to the other one. And strangers can be doing that. I'm just like, it's not going anywhere. Because it can escalate. Those things can escalate very quickly. When you're kids, you know, it just escalates in a second and it's fist. But adults do that, where it's just like, I'm not listening, but I'm talking, and the other one's saying the same thing, and you're like, somewhere there's going to be an electrical short, and it's just going to, they're going to fall to the ground or something. But let your words be few. That doesn't mean don't witness as much, don't worship as much, but it means let the balance be, Lord, there's more going in my ears than are coming out of my mouth. That balance right there is a great economy. That means the flow that's going out is not as much as what's coming in. Therefore, I'm more full than what I used to be. As we grow, don't we learn, you know, when to say and not say? The older we get, we say, you know, in my younger years, I might have said this or that. I have stood by situations on a job and heard people go back and forth. And my inclination was, then I'm like, I don't really care, you know. I mean, I'm not going to fix them. You know, I'm just going to stay out of it, and I can't fix that. I didn't cause it. But there's a point in time when we want to get involved, especially if it's someone you're very close to. But in this regard, the Word of God is saying, God's in heaven, you're on earth. Therefore, and with that kind of arrangement, let your words be few. So I got to weigh my words. Think of how they sound to the hearer. A rash vow that can't be fulfilled can cause a person to feel like God is against them. Somebody that makes just a quick, you know, Lord, here's a promise I'm making to you. I vow to you. I remember doing that also when I was younger. I vowed to God. I used to hear that all the time. People say, I vowed to God. And they'd say it in a way that meant they can't do what you're asking them to do because they made a vow to God. And I vowed to God, I can't go back on my vow. But it's saying, don't do that too much. Don't do that. Weigh your words. Think of how they sound. And that rash vow doesn't need to go forth. Remember Jephthah in the Old Testament. He was a ruler for a while. And his life was so decimated. He was the son of his father's, you know, affair that he had, a one-night stand, and he was the son of that. And all of his other brothers, they said, you ain't going to get an inheritance with us, and they cast him out. And so he joined with other guys like him that were kind of outcasts, and they were rough dudes, and they kind of hired themselves out as mercenaries, and this guy became the leader of all these guys. But his brothers came back and said, could you help us out a little bit, because we're in a bind. He goes, I'll help you, and I'll win, and if I win, can I be over everybody? They said, oh, yeah, because without, you know, you're winning, we're losing everything. He fought, but before he did, he said, Lord, here's my vow. If you help me win, the first thing that walks out of my house, I'm going to give it to you. What was wrong with Jephthah is he wanted to win so bad. He wanted to win too bad because he was down here and his brothers were here, and he wanted so much to be up here with his brothers. And so he made a rash vow. It was an esteem issue, and so he purchased something. He wrote a check with his mouth that he couldn't fulfill. He didn't have enough. And he walked up to the house and he was going, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. I don't know who all was in his house. I've wondered, Lord, was it just the wife and the daughter? And he thought maybe the wife would walk out and the wife's not that, you know, they're not doing well. Honestly, he said, Lord, I will give you the first thing that comes out of my house. What else would, I don't know, is a cousin, but it was his daughter. And he hated the fact that she came out. He goes, oh no, you don't know what you've done. She's like, Dad, you won the victory. I know, but listen to what I've done. And his daughter said, that's all right. That's all right. You know, I'll go forward with it. If he could have backed up, I think he would have wrote that check differently and said, Lord, if you'll let me win this battle, I'll serve you the rest of my day, putting me on the line. But instead, he said, you can have the first thing. I've got a daughter and a wife. He might have had a dog, but he said something rash because of what he had been through. What we go through affects how we worship. It affects what we need from the Word of God. It affects the flavor that we have when we greet one another. Where we've been is going to linger on us. My Aunt Ruby, my mother's older sister, terrible marriage, a man that was a drunk and just treated her terribly. And so I grew up knowing that Aunt Ruby had been through a lot. And I grew up realizing that she was spiritual. And she knew how to pray, and she talked about things God did for her and a lot of testimonies. And she would come home from this restaurant in Grand Prairie, Texas called the Prairie Dog. And I loved it when she would come over because she had that white dress on that they wear, but it wasn't the white dress, she smelled like hamburgers. And she smelled so good, the hamburgers and French fries. And I had never had one to that point because I was very small. She smelled so good when she came home. She smelled like where she had been, and it was a good thing. We all reek a little bit of what we go through. Amen. We do. That's why our spirit self has to be more important or more well-fed than our flesh self, because we want people to see God, and so we want to have words that depict a person that's been along with God and not going through the gutters. There's a kid in my junior high, and he would come to school every day, and I don't know where he lived and where he came from, but the bottom, in those days, there were bell bottoms. Don't remember those really cool pants that, you know, so wish they were in style. Nobody ever said that. They would cover your shoes if they were long enough. And every day he would come to school with about this much of it wet. I said, where have you been? Oh, I just ran to school. Where from? And it was like he'd been through a creek bottom. And he may have, I don't know. But every day that I can remember seeing him, he had the bottom of his pants because he walked in and you could see where he'd been. I was dry. Everybody else is dry. But he apparently had been through a flood. Verse 3, for a dream comes through much activity and a fool's voice is known by his many words. Can we say amen? Amen. When you make a vow to God, verse 4 says, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. And really, I would back up and say, really, be careful vowing anything to God. God's kind. He's benevolent. He's understanding. So he doesn't expect me to say, all right, Lord, if you'll do this, first thing out of my house. That's putting a lot of weight on someone that you may love dearly. That vow that we make, I've made a few in my life. But I try to make it a very small amount that I write on that check. Lord, if you do this, I'll fast a day. You know, I was a young man. I thought that God could be bought with me promising to fast. And I realized, you know, you should just do those things. But that was part of that relationship. Pay what you vowed. Better to not to vow than to vow and not pay. Verse 5 is what I needed to read. It's better to not vow than to vow and not pay. So to vow and not pay is like speaking without following through. And words can do far more than money in both directions. They can do good and bad. And so, Lord, help us to say and mean what we say and say what we mean. Verse 6 says, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. That part I read to you is in yellow highlighter in my notes here. Because I think it needs to be stressed. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. How does that happen? Well, it says, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? So don't let your mouth, don't say something that would put you at risk with your relationship with God. Don't let something go out of your mouth that someone's going to watch you and say, are you really going to do what you said you would do? In other words, you know, here's what I do, or here's what I'm going to do. Hold on. Take a deep breath and say, is that really what I'm going to do? Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? Verse 7, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God. But fear God. All those words and all the plans of man, yep, might be good, might be bad. Main thing, Lord, help me to center myself. Fear God. Let me just be sure, Lord, that I have a godly reverence in my mind. Isn't it true that those who talk a lot actually diminish the value of their words? I had a cousin married a guy, and very, very friendly, and they would come over to our house. But when they came in, he talked, and pretty much that was it. He talked, and he had a lot of stories, but it was one story, didn't lead to another. It was in the same sentence. He took a breath and went on and on, and he was very entertaining, and I loved hearing him. And he would leave, and we'd go, he sure can talk. And my parents, very kind, he's a lot of fun, but man, he sure does talk. You know, I would rather have somebody that talks than somebody that just, well, you wonder, what are you thinking? What's in that mind of that mouth that's not moving? You know, so I would rather have the talker, but here it's saying, really, all those words, watch out, be careful. People sometimes diminish the value. Changing scenes a little bit, 1 Samuel, not going to read all of this, but I kind of want to paraphrase a story. And this is, again, about words. It's not always about, we may have something to say, something that's great to say, but it's the timing of what we say, really, that is so important. A word spoken, you know, at the right time. David was a man after the very heart of God because of his attitude. And yet we know he wasn't perfect. God loved him. God anointed him. And David, you know, we really wish we could see him in action because he did some awesome things. But David's men were keeping watch. You know, they were just, the only way they lived was by raiding the enemy. That's what they did. When he had ran from Saul, let me get the story. When he had was running from Saul for those many years. And so, remember, first it was 200 men, then there were 400 mighty men and with David. And mighty, vicious warriors these guys were. And you know those stories. But they were with some shepherds, and they protected these shepherds as they were out there with their sheep. And David knew that the owner of these sheep was Naboth, and the name Naboth means a churlish man or a fool. What his name, I don't know who in the world named him that, but he overcame it apparently, and it might have been a nickname. But David, you know, sent his guys there, said, I want you to go ask this guy, you know, that we've been watching all of his men, see if he'll give us some provisions, you know, because if they're not raiding somebody, they're running out of food. And they went there and said, hey, our master is David, and he would like to kindly ask. And the man went off on him. Who in the world does David think he is? There's many people like that around here. And, you know, he's left his master. Well, I know what he's done. He's turned on Saul, the king, he ain't having a thing from me. And the men turned around and said, okay. They weren't worried. And because they saw he had plenty, and they knew they could have it. They were just going about it the nice way first. And so, because these guys were truly warriors. And so they went back to tell David, and one of the men of Naboth that heard it, Nabal rather, not Naboth, he's had the vineyard, but Nabal, okay. He went back and tells Nabal's wife, and he says, you're not going to believe what just happened. One of David's men came, and your husband just, you know, cursed him out. And she goes, oh no, I know what's going to happen now, because she had wisdom. She had wisdom. And when the men got back to David, he said, everybody strap your swords on. We're going to go get the groceries. We did it the nice way, but we're all going to be eating a little bit. So let's go ahead and take care of this guy. He shouldn't have treated us that way. Abigail was the opposite. The wife, beautiful, full of wisdom. You're asking, how did she marry? It was an arranged marriage, obviously. It had to be. He probably spent a lot of money. Her dad now was in a resort on the beach because You know, that's what I feel, how you get those things. And she got on the donkey, grabbed some provisions, and takes off to intervene. And the Bible says when Abigail, in verse 23 of 1 Samuel 25, when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "Own me, my Lord. On me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant." If her husband is to be saved today, it's going to come out of her mouth. And yet she knows that this warrior, with all these mighty men, have every reason and the ability to snuff his life out and totally take over the farm. And she is going to try everything she can with words. "Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young man of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed." This is a wise word. She says, me being here is God saying, "Hold on, David. You don't want to shed blood like this. You're going to feel bad about this later. You're acting out in emotion." But she said, "I'm trying to tell you, oh, I want to turn this around so you won't regret what you're about to do. So the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself on your own hand. Now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. He's nothing. He's not worth your time. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days." She'd done her homework. She knew who this was. And she understood who she was married to. She's married to the polar opposite, or she's looking at the polar opposite in David. She says, "I know my husband, and your reputation precedes you. Everyone knows you." She appealed to his better side with words and made him understand, "David, you're better than this. He's not on your level. He's not worth it. Don't go after him." She said, so in verse 28, "Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. Evil is not found in you throughout your days." You're not evil. You've done nothing wrong. And here David has got that sword. He's probably been sharpening the sword. And as she's speaking, he's probably looking at it, and, you know, maybe he hadn't strapped it on. Maybe it was mid-strap, and he's thinking of maybe taking it back off. She said, "Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling." Here's how wise she was. David's first victory that he would be known for was slinging a stone out of the pocket of a sling. And she says, "This is what the Lord's going to do to your enemies." I kind of feel like not only was she beautiful, but she had a way with words, because she was speaking from anointing if ever a woman had. "And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel." Wait, now she's already gone into the room of a prophet. She's starting to prophesy. God is using her to keep David from, yeah, David, you can go down there and you could destroy this guy, but you're going to go down to do that. And I want you to go up, because God knew he was going to be a king. He didn't need to destroy one of his own just for some raisins and some milk and cheese. So this woman is speaking words that arrested him. But in God's grace and goodness, when these words, and by the way, the word of God, whether it's spoken from someone that's been anointed as she was, or spoken from a pulpit, or spoken in a lesson, or even spoken in a sermon that you've borrowed from somebody and put the CD in there and listened, or whatever it might be, they still speak to us. They still help us. Yes. The anointed word of God helps us. Yes. Doesn't matter the voice, it doesn't matter the timing, it could be old or new. The other day I found some old sermons from J.T. Pugh, and oh, I'll tell you, listening to those, that you could hear the background noises and the hissing and the popping, and it was wonderful to listen to that sermon that man was preaching. Such meat, effective and applicable then, applicable now, because it was the Word of God. This will be, she said, look, that this will be no grief to you nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. When all of this happens, when all of these things come to pass, when you've already been a ruler over Israel, just think about me. What God is showing David is, David, look, you're running from Saul and you don't see how you're going to ever get to the throne. But this woman is coming to tell you something more important than the food you're trying to get. She's saying, you're going to be the ruler over Israel. Just letting you know, that's where you're going to be. And it proved to David who he really was and what direction his life was going. See, David is running from a man that's trying to kill him. He used to be his father-in-law. He gave his wife away. And I'm sure at times he wanted to just give up and say, never mind, it's not worth it. And the Word of God, the Word fitly spoken, comes to him and arrests him and says, here's what really is going on. It pulls a veil back. And we get bogged down by the current scenery of this life sometimes. Family circumstances, job circumstances, whatever it might be, personal things. And we get involved in that screen that we're watching. But sometimes God, through his Word, opens it up and we see the kingdom again. And say, wait a minute. It's the kingdom that matters here. It's the things of heaven that matter here. It's not my little score that I'm keeping and who I'm trying to impress. It's the kingdom of God that's here that is so important right now. Oh, God, help us to let the Word put us back in the center of our life, that we can enjoy the things we're supposed to enjoy, see the things that we're supposed to see. Then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. See, what he was saying is, amen, sister, amen. So be it. He was saying, you've spoken, and I understand now what's just been said. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried to come to meet me, surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. He's not just talking big talk. He's saying, that's facts right there. We've been doing this for a while. You preserved me. You touched me. You saved me. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. And as she walked away, David said to himself, I'm going to marry her. Yeah. Probably, you know, because he did. Somewhere that thought came to him, and he went and once her husband 10 days later, remember, he died of a stroke. And when the news come out in the paper, Nabal dies of a stroke. David's like, well, it happened. It's in the Bible. The woman spoke good words. David said, I think I want to marry you. My last verse, Psalm 51 and 17 and 18. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. The Word of God, O Lord, is nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And what comes out of my life and what comes out of your life is because of what goes in your ears in this life, in this church. What we hear makes us what we are. Yes. Amen. The Word of God builds us up. It helps us to navigate. It lifts us up to a place where we can see down on the life we're living and make our decisions. God's good to us that way. Amen. If I get up each morning and the Word of God is what I need to feed myself with, I'm certain. I may not know what the stock market's doing. I may not understand current news. But if it's the Word of God, I will navigate better than if I were to know exactly what the news is of the day in our world. Because whatever that news is, this news, and it's not a Bible, but you know there's a Bible in there. But this news that I'm reading It's what's going to affect me and help guide my steps. Amen.
Yes.
It's what I hear. It's what I hear. He that has ears to hear, Jesus says, let him hear. Here's the thing. There's things I need to hear, and there's things I hear that I need to let them go.
All right.
I need to just let them go. But there's things I need to maintain. There's things I need to retain and rehearse them over. It's the Word of God. Nothing like the Word of God. Amen. Let us stand. And I believe this. We do a lot of ritual things. I know that, you know, we pray before church. We pray during. I believe that when I hear the Word or when I read the Word of God, the best thing for me to do is pray and say, God, I need you to help me to get out of this, what's in there. Amen. Can we pray that right now and ask God to just help us to glean in Jesus' name? Father, I thank you so much for what you've given us. And Lord, what you have done. Your Word is sharp and powerful, God. And I thank you, Lord, for the life that's in your Word. I thank you, God, for the ears you've given us to hear. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, your holy Word that we read, Lord, that anointed Word, Lord, that were written of prophets long ago, Lord, let that Word, Father, get into our minds and hearts and guide our steps and lead us through everything we go through. Father, we thank you today for your wonderful blessings, your goodness and your kindness. In Jesus' name, God bless y'all. Amen.